AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. A rally in Milwaukee after a county judge was arrested by the FBI for allegedly helping an undocumented immigrant evade arrest.
We stand united against all politically motivated attacks on the judiciary and on Americans standing for justice.
The judge's lawyer says she looks forward to being exonerated. Attorney General Pam Bondi telling ABC News,
"We do believe in the rule of law, and not even a judge is above the law."
A former Doña County, New Mexico District Judge Joel Cano arrested along with his wife, accused of knowingly allowing members of a Venezuelan gang to live on their property. Cano denies knowing they were part of a gang. President Trump saying trade deals have been made, but giving no details. ABC News senior White House correspondent Selena Wang.
Bottom line is that not a single trade deal has been announced, despite the president saying that he's made 200 trade deals, and despite the fact that there are only 195 countries in the world.
This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service is issuing a public health alert for pork carnitas products that may be contaminated with foreign material, specifically pieces of metal. FSIS did not request a recall because this product is no longer available for sale in commerce. The fully cooked pork carnitas products were produced from April 1st to 2nd. Products subject to the public health alert are 16-ounce sleeve tray packages containing pork carnitas seasoned and seared with juices slow-cooked with citrus with use-by dates of June 30, 2025 or July 1, 2025 printed on the side of the packaging. The products subject to the public health alert bear establishment number 46049 inside the USDA mark of inspection. These items were shipped to Aldi supermarkets nationwide. The problem was discovered when the establishment notified FSIS that during routine process checks, they found equipment damage that may have contaminated the carnitas products with pieces of metal. There have been no confirmed reports of injury due to consumption of these products. Anyone concerned about an injury should contact a health care provider. Although this product is no longer available for sale, FSIS is concerned that some product may be in consumers' refrigerators or freezers. Consumers who have purchased these products are urged not to consume them. These products should be thrown away or returned to the place of purchase. UW students will pay more next semester. The Board of Regents has approved price increases for room and board and other fees. That's for campuses all over the state. The State Journal did the math, and on average, yearly cost will rise about $300. UW-Madison's increase will be $363. Depending on how the federal funding situation plays out, it seems like tuition increases could also be possible. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers add a wide receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL draft in Green Bay, where the Packers picked Matthew Golden, a wide receiver out of Texas in the first round. Golden is only a junior, but the team is confident he's ready for the NFL. GM Brian Gutekunst.
I think because of the high school football and the way they throw it around, seven on sevens, and just some of the things that have changed on the lower levels, guys are coming in and making an impact quicker, and I certainly think Matthew has the opportunity to do that. Now, we got some good players in that room, so he's not going to have to kind of carry the load that way, but I think he has a chance to contribute, you know, not only as a receiver, but I think he's got some special team return ability as well that could help us.
I asked Golden what made him successful at Texas.
Being reliable, man. You know, in critical situations, I always showed up. You know, when my back was against the wall, they could count on me, come out with a big play, and that's something I kept doing continuously. You know, I put my best foot forward.
NBA, the Bucks host the Pacers in Game 3 of their playoff series tonight. The Brewers are in St. Louis to play the Cardinals. Milwaukee losing to the Giants 6-5. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-30s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, highs in the low 60s. Some showers and a few storms for Sunday, high mid-60s. Breezy, warm Monday, showers and storms, some severe. Currently 51 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that
or what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson, new Wisco Weekend host Lisa Hale, and it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr joins the show with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, Doge keeps slashing away, even though we may be hearing a little bit less from Elon Musk. Are you worried about your Social Security check? I'm concerned for those in my family that are getting those checks. Will they continue? What does Trump and the Doge posse have in store? Well, we've got someone who can dispel all of the lies and help you understand exactly what's going on and what is at stake for you and your family. It is former Maryland governor and, more importantly for this discussion, former Social Security Commissioner Martin O'Malley. He's joining us today because he's in Racine. Welcome to the show, Commissioner and former governor of Maryland, Mr. O'Malley. We appreciate you making time. What brings you to Racine today?
Well, I'm going to Racine today for a town hall at 6 o'clock at the Dr. John Bryant Center. And I've found myself, Maggie, since leaving the post of Commissioner of Social Security, to still be talking about Social Security because of the speed with which they've taken, you know, you use the metaphor, a meat cleaver, a chainsaw, to this agency, which I already knew probably better than most people, was already very vulnerable because they've been operating at a 50-year low in staffing, even though baby boomers of my generation swell their ranks every day to a new all-time high. So this is a town hall tonight, and we're going to hold up some of the big lies that Elon Musk is telling as he tries to undermine public trust in a system that 73 million people depend upon.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary. To me, Governor, when I look at what Elon Musk, our billionaire overlord, is doing with the permission and negligence, I could say, of our current president, what I see is the dismantling of the system, right, of the personnel, of the offices being shuttered, so that it will become so hard for people to navigate the system and get the benefits that they have earned. These are earned benefits. Is that part of what you're seeing as one of the threats to Social Security at this moment?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when I was commissioner, I spent a lot of time in Social Security offices, and I would always go through the front door, and I'd listen to people. What is it that you're here to do? What business? I'd be able to point to my picture on the wall and say, I'm the other guy with the blue tie right below the president. And people would tell me what they were there for. And, you know, very immediately I had to put up a finger and bring in a staff person to help me sort out a complex problem. In one sense, Social Security is kind of simple in concept. That is to say, it is a pay-as-you-go program. And people working pay in, and beneficiaries, once they're of the right age or they have a disability, they get paid out by those same dollars. But patterning it and making sure you get the right amount to the right person at the right time within a web of regulations built up over time and the parameters of the law is not an easy thing. So when Elon Musk and the Doge young men, mostly, that I haven't heard a woman's name at Social Security, when Elon Musk and those young men go through and they and they reduced staffing there by 7,000 people, Maggie. Keep in mind, already at a 50-year low at 56,000, beneficiaries climbing to an all-time high. They have either through massive firings of whole offices or by paying people to leave, by setting a deadline when you can avail yourself of the cash money to leave right now, no knowledge transfer, and or by what they call restructuring. You know, they have reduced to 50%, by 50%, that cut in half the IT department at Social Security. And I've got to tell you, it is all staffing and all IT systems. That's how they operate and have served the American public when they did until Congress started reducing their staffing. Their overhead was only 1.2%. And yet, that's been something now that Elon Musk has decided to decry as totally wasteful and inefficient. And if you compare it to a private insurance company, that 1.2% compared to Allstate's at 19% overhead to benefits paid. Liberty Mutual, Liberty Bibberty, 23%.
Bibberty Bibberty.
Benefits.
But we've got former Social Security Commissioner Martin O'Malley, former Maryland governor, with us this afternoon. He's in Racine today talking to people about Social Security at an event hosted by Fair Share America. I wanted to zero in both on the efficiency question and on some of the other, what I'm going to call most generously misstatements. I'll call them outright lies about Social Security.
Big lies.
Big lies that scare the crap out of people and frankly have created a bogus permission structure to dismantle this program that 73 million Americans rely on. Let's take up one of those big lies right now. Here's Elon Musk very recently on Joe Rogan. Cal, this is Cut 14.
Like, you could run a real pyramid scheme.
Well, I mean, the government's one big pyramid scheme, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, you can tell me better than anybody.
Social Security is the biggest Ponzi scheme of all time.
Hmm.
Commissioner, let's provide some truth to people.
Yeah, so here's the truth. There is no Ponzi scheme that has ever lasted 90 years. Usually they collapse in a few months. So yes. Social Security has never missed a payment, a monthly payment in 90 years, including, oh, by the way, all through COVID. Could you imagine that cascading effect? If even with the evacuation from office workplaces, those checks had stopped coming out. So Social Security, Maggie, is a pay-as-you-go program. It's not a savings alone where we have individual savings account for people. It is a pay-as-you-go program that operates on a 75-year actuarial forecast. I don't know how many of your listeners operate on a 75-year forecast. I know I don't, but Social Security does. So every, say, 20, 30 years, Congress makes adjustments in order to keep it on track for the foreseeable 75 years. That's what they did in 1982, and they built up intentionally a surplus reserve. And so last year, or the year before I served as Social Security Commissioner, because I have that one committed to memory because I signed the audit report, Social Security, people working in the American economy, this is what I mean by pay-as-you-go, people working in the American economy paid in from their paychecks $1.3 trillion. Social Security paid out to beneficiaries in pay status $1.4 trillion. So where did the additional $100 billion come from? That came from the intentionally built up surplus reserve that they anticipated they would need in the program to cover us baby boomers and our retirement lifetime. But what they didn't anticipate were so many changes after 1982 that exacerbated income inequality and took more of the earned dollars in the economy out of that bracket to which Social Security applies, which is only the first, I say only, which is the first 170,000 of our earned income, which means as a practical matter, somebody working in Racine or Milwaukee at a McDonald's pays in all year, whereas Elon Musk stops paying in about 2 seconds after the ball drops in Times Square on New Year's.
Yeah, Governor and former Social Security Commissioner Martin O'Malley with us. Commissioner, I made special note on my program after the first of the year to list all of the billionaires who had within seconds stopped paying Social Security tax.
Oh, good for you. That's a good one.
Yeah, because there's so many of them. And I often like to remind our listeners that between 1981 and 2021, $50 trillion of wealth has, of course, left the 90% of us, the bottom 90 us regular people. And it's gone from us to the top 1%. And that this, when we look at Social Security funding and these actuarial tables, yeah, there's a pinch point coming, but there are solutions to this that would not have dire consequences for regular people. What are some of those solutions, Commissioner O'Malley?
Yeah, you know, one of the things we've been reading for years is that Social Security is going bankrupt. But what those articles that get a lot of clickbait and a lot of people reading them, they say by 2035. What they're talking about is actually, Maggie, that surplus reserve that has, you know, that, as you know, has not lasted as long as they thought it would in 1982, because so many dollars were pushed out of the bracket to which Social Security applies. But even that cliff in 2035, that if Congress doesn't act, by some reading of the statute, it says that we will all suffer a 17% reduction in benefits. Now, that's not going to be good for somebody for whom Social Security is the only difference between living with dignity or living under a bridge. But if you had a family-owned business and your accountant told you you were going to have a 17% shortfall in 2035, you wouldn't plaster out of business going bankrupt in 2035 across your business. You'd make adjustments. And one of the adjustments that we could make on Social Security, and only Congress can do this, is to ask people who are making more than $500,000 to start paying in again. There's no windfall for the highest earning people in America when it comes to Medicare. Why do we stop paying into Social Security, and why is it that, you know, Elon Musk stops paying 2 seconds after midnight? So President Biden himself had indicated that he would support people paying back in after they make up to $400,000. So that's one of the fixes that can be applied, and there are others as well. John Larson, a Democratic member from Connecticut, every year introduces a bill to actually strengthen and expand Social Security by requiring higher earning people in our economy to pay in again. It's about our society. It's about the security of individuals, but it's also about the security, economic security, of all of the men, women, and children of the United States of America, as FDR said.
73 million of them. Two things I want to emphasize that the former commissioner just said, folks. One is Social Security will not go bankrupt. That is a lie. It's a damn lie. It is designed to scare you, to try to justify draconian benefit cuts that simply are not necessary. Now, there would be benefit cuts, as the commissioner pointed out. But again, Social Security will remain solvent. Social Security cannot also, it is not legal for Social Security to acquire debt. So, again, I think there's just so much misinformation out there.
That's right.
Governor and Commissioner,
yeah,
please go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that one of the misunderstandings, and this is true even in among some in the halls of Congress, they talk about Social Security like a big deficit buster, like it adds to the deficit. Social Security doesn't add to the deficit. It's the only agency that runs right now a surplus of $2.6 trillion. The Department of Defense does not do that. Social Security actually lends money to the federal government. They could, if Congress wanted to, they could restore all of the, you know, reductions in staffing that Americans are feeling the pain of. They could do that, take it entirely out of the trust fund, and that wouldn't add a dime to the deficit, nor would it advance the depletion date by anything more than 30 days. So solvable problems, long-term and short-term.
And short-term. Scrap the cap. Social Security is not going bankrupt, and it doesn't borrow money. It actually lends money to the federal government. We continue with former Social Security Commissioner Martin O'Malley, former Maryland governor, right here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Protect your family's financial future and keep listening. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
All eyes are on Wisconsin as the NFL's 2025 Player Selection Draft is finally here. 250,000 people are expected. Here's Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrich.
Our citizens are just so excited to welcome hundreds of thousands of guests to the city of Green Bay. We're thrilled about it. I mean, the economic impact is going to be substantial. $20 million roughly in the metro area, and then I think $96 million is the number that's being used statewide.
It's the second time Wisconsin is hosting the draft, the first in 1939. But do you know where? Was it Oshkosh, Milwaukee, or Madison? The answer's coming up.
The smallest NFL city, but the biggest heart.
And with the main campus all around Lambeau Field, it's a time for the whole area to shine. Now, did you guess the location for the 1939 draft? It was a one-day event in Milwaukee with the NFL championship game the very next day. By the way, the Packers beat the Giants 27-0. There's a winning slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Joined this half hour by former Social Security Commissioner and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. We're dispelling some of the damn lies that get told about Social Security by those that, frankly, are seeking to fund the largest tax cuts for billionaires, trillions in tax cuts for billionaires and 100 millionaires, on the backs of working class people by cutting essential benefits like Social Security, SNAP, Medicare, and Medicaid. Of course, Social Security is an earned benefit that you have earned and paid into throughout your career and your working life. Social Security helps support more than 73 million Americans. Thanks so much for spending some more time with us, Governor. I really appreciate it. Listen, we've been talking about the fact that Social Security is incredibly inefficient with overhead at 1.2%. I challenge anyone listening, Trump voters included, to find any other insurance provider or benefit provider that runs an overhead at 1.2%. They won't be able to find one. We have debunked the mythology that Social Security will go broke. It will not. We have debunked that Social Security somehow adds to our nation's deficit. It does not. It is a walled-off trust that, in fact, actually helps our federal government because the Social Security, the fund, the extra fund, the surplus dollars are used to purchase U.S. treasuries. I would like to now debunk the myth that has been now propagated by Elon Musk and Donald Trump, our billionaire overlords, that people that are here illegally, that are non-citizens, are collecting Social Security benefits. Can you address that, Governor?
Yeah, absolutely not true. In fact, illegal immigrants, so-called, people working in the United States outside of legal status, are prohibited from receiving any benefits from Social Security, nor can they even earn the benefit from the work they do. But, Maggie, they do contribute $25 billion a year for the rest of us that they'll never see a penny of. So that is a big lie. They often conflate that lie by saying, oh, my gosh, look at this horrible thing. These non-citizens came to the country, and they were mailed Social Security numbers. Yeah, no kidding, Sherlock. That's because that's required under the law, and the electronic and more efficient way of doing that was established actually under Donald Trump in 2017. So, and Elon Musk, when he came here on a student visa, which I do believe he overstayed, he was mailed a Social Security number so he could pay in since he was here in legal status. So that's a total lie, as is the zombie apocalypse. There are not millions of dead people roaming around Milwaukee and Racine with Social Security checks spewing out of their cadaverous pockets. Doesn't happen. Not true. Year after year, before they fired the inspector general, the audit showed that, yes, there were probably in a 73 million person program, roughly 800 people who were sent checks a month or more after they had deceased. But that, in most cases, was not a matter of somebody committing fraud by hiding granny's body, although sadly occasionally that happened. But it's just not true. There aren't 30 million people, like a population the size of Texas, receiving Social Security benefits. Absolutely false.
Thanks so much, Governor. So to recap, it doesn't add to the deficit. It's not going to go bust. It is not a Ponzi scheme. It can't take out debt. It is illegal to pay benefits to people who are here illegally, although those non-citizens contribute $25 billion with a B, billion dollars in their payroll taxes to the system. And no, we're not paying millions and millions and millions of dead people Social Security benefits. Any other big fat lies, Governor, that we need to debunk here? I think we're doing a pretty gosh darn good job of it.
I think we have. This is the most intelligent interview I've ever done on Social Security. So congratulations. You get the Cupid doll. a lot of people ask me at town halls, so what's the ultimate objective here? I don't know what the ultimate objective is here. Some people have even said, oh, you're scaring people by telling them that they're driving the agency into a system collapse and an interruption for a time of benefits. But that's what they are doing. And you can see that every action they take in terms of what they say about Social Security is intended to wreck public trust in the agency. Everything they're doing operationally, cutting the IT department in half, in driving 7,000, ultimately they're going to get to 10,000 in another month, driving 10,000 people out of the agency. It's the biggest exodus of customer service staffing the agency's ever suffered in its history. It's all about them wrecking its reputation, wrecking its ability to serve the customer, so that having wrecked its reputation and having wrecked its customer service, then they can get away for robbing it. Whether they're robbing it for that $2.6 trillion in the trust fund and what they want to do with it, I think they are going to have to precipitate a presidentially declared emergency in order to get their hands on that trust fund. They'll say it's in order to get checks cranking out again, but whether it's for their sovereign wealth fund he's talking about, or whether it's to invest in the market or in the Bitcoin, I don't know. I do know, though, and have a responsibility.
I think we just lost the commissioner there. What I'm going to say this is, their aim is to destroy your trust in this system, a system that has worked for 90 years. Don't believe the lies. The only people betraying you are Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and the billionaire class. Thanks so much to former Social Security Commissioner, former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. My sincere pleasure. We'll be back with more right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. International students across the country are discovering that their legal status and student visas are being terminated or revoked with little notice. An Associated Press review of university statements, correspondence with school officials, and court records has, as of Wednesday, tallied at least 1,118 students at 177 colleges, universities, and university systems have had their visas revoked or their legal status terminated since late March. Closer to home, a local judge has prevented the Trump administration from deporting a second UW-Madison student. According to the Wisconsin State Journal, 21-year-old Allison Yang, a Chinese student at the business school. She's set to graduate in about 2 weeks and works as an actuarial assistant before grad school. But her visa was revoked April 4th. She had a speeding ticket, and that may be the basis of her deportation. The paper reports a federal judge in Madison ruled that revoking her visa was, quote, an abuse of discretion, and a speeding ticket is not a valid reason to deport someone. The judge's ruling says if she had to go home, she would have spent more than $130,000 and not get her degree. On top of that, he mentioned the psychological impact, saying she's now in constant fear and doesn't want to leave her room, worried that immigration authorities will arrest her. The Trump administration has revoked the visas of at least 40 students across the UW system. Students have begun to file lawsuits across the country, with a number of temporary restraining orders granted in lawsuits from New Hampshire, Montana, and Wisconsin. Today's forecast calls for showers this morning with a high near 56. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Two Hollywood movers and shakers are about to get even busier as they team up for a new psychological thriller. American Hostage is a new series from MGM Plus and will star John Hamm, and Sean Ryan will executive produce. The show is set in the 70s and follows Hamm's character, who is a reporter forced to interview a hostage taker in the middle of a crisis. Hamm is currently starring in Your Friends and Neighbors, and Ryan recently executive produced and wrote The Night Agent. Pamela Anderson's recent film, The Last Showgirl, brought her critical praise and some Oscar buzz, but it did not result in a nomination. Not sure if it's a snub or not, but according to the New York Post, it motivated the Baywatch actress to retaliate by moving to Massachusetts to do theater. Anderson will star in Tennessee Williams' Camino Real this coming summer. Anderson made her Broadway debut in Chicago in 2022. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-30s. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, highs in the low 60s. Some showers and a few storms for Sunday, high mid-60s. Breezy, warm Monday, showers and storms, some severe. Right now it's 53.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. You're timing good, fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Civic Media.
Tell me something good.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A big thank you to former Maryland Governor and former Social Security Secretary Martin O'Malley. It has been a big day, which means I am so very happy to be joined by my colleague Terry Barr for a little bit of what's good, local and overlooked in Wisconsin. We need to go off into the weekend despite all that is going on a positive note. And I'll just say this. We will, of course, return to what is happening in the political and legal news. There's going to be plenty of time to discuss in the coming days, weeks, and months. But one of the great acts of resistance, Terry, is to find joy, to find some happiness, and to rest and recuperate. And so I'm very thankful every Friday to have some joy with you and to share it with all of our great listeners. So with that, Terry, what you got for us this Friday
afternoon? Oh, let me lead that happiness resistance. Happy to do it with you, Maggie. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, another big piece of the news is really sports news this week. And, you know, everybody knows the NFL draft is in Green Bay. I have friends and relatives who are volunteering. Many are attending as well. And one of my cousins joked, I am here with more than 200,000 of my closest football friends. Yeah. But what we sometimes forget is all of the things happening around this big football crown in Green Bay. There are events, there is local food, there is local markets, just a chance for Green Bay and Wisconsin to show off a little bit. Well, here may be something that really went under the radar. We found out about this for our Max Inc. radio show. There is this little band in Appleton that goes by the name of Doozy.
Like doozy. As in that's a doozy of a band. Am I getting
Isn't
this right?
It great?
It is great.
So Doozy decides when they hear the NFL draft is going to be not just in Wisconsin, but in Northeast Wisconsin, they start the ball rolling. What do we do to write a song? What do we do to get to play at the draft? How do we put this all together? And they started working first with the Packers, then with the NFL. This little Appleton band is going to blow up because tonight, the song they wrote for the NFL draft, they're playing the entire thing for the first time on stage live for who knows how many people.
Oh, that is so good. Good for Doozy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. I snuck a sample. Well, I should say they snuck a sample to me. So we have a little bit of the song. Would you like to hear it?
Heck yes. Exclusive preview of the band Doozy, who will be performing live for the NFL draft tonight. Heck yes. Let's make some music news today.
Mountaintop, stand my flag in the frozen tundra. I ain't ever gonna stop. Fast as lightning and I'm strong as thunder. Doesn't matter what they say, I'm gonna do it anyway. It doesn't matter if it's storm, I'm gonna march to the beat of my own drum. I'm gonna be the last one standing. I'm gonna be the last one standing. Standing.
That is great. I'm going to be the last one standing, but probably a personal motto, maybe a motto for the times, if you will, Terry. I love it.
I was thinking that as I'm listening, because they wrote it as the idea of being able to overcome obstacles, of course, like a football player and like all these college kids just waiting for their name to be called. But hearing your show today, I related the song back to everything that you were talking about as well.
Oh, yes. It's amazing sometimes the intersections between pop culture and politics and all that is going on. Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that. And again, good for you, the band named Doozy. I love it.
And again, based in Appleton, playing the entire song live tonight for the first time at the NFL Draft in Green Bay. And then they have a couple of shows tomorrow all around Green Bay. So they'll be really jamming it out tomorrow if you happen to be in the city and want to check it out.
Yeah, I've definitely got some friends that headed up to Green Bay, brought their umbrellas for the draft. So maybe I'll drop them a little text, remind them, hey, you got to check out this band Doozy. They're around.
Yeah, have them go look. Oh, my gosh. Well, and Maggie, I don't know if you knew all week, the crew in Green Bay, and I've been working with them, WGBW and WISS, we have been digging hard to really try to find things that are flying under the radar. So kind of like Doozy, we also found out that on Sunday, and I find this amazing that it's Sunday, because technically the draft ends on Saturday night. A lot of people, I'm sure, will be leaving the area, having to head home, get back to work, all that good stuff. But there's actually a flag football game in the works right now. It's happening on Sunday at noon in the 2000 block of Holmgren Way. There's a field there where they will be playing. And you're probably thinking, whoop-de-doo, right? Wait till I tell you some of the names. Ready?
Please.
Okay. Fan favorites, because they're there for the draft. They agreed to stay and be part of this flag football team for the fans. We're talking people like Amon Green.
Oh, my goodness.
One of my favorites. Dorsey Levens. Remember Dorsey?
Yes, I do. Wow. My brain is now like, oh, yes, the old rosters.
I know. Clay Matthews, incredible.
And hi, Clay, still single. Hello. Hello. Just, I joke.
Oh, I guess you're going there on Sunday then.
Yes. Maybe a small change of plans.
Yeah. Here's the even better part. There's some kid flag football teams in Green Bay. Most of them are nonprofit, so they're supported by the community. A lot of these kids otherwise wouldn't get a chance to play. Well, the football players said, heck yeah, we're going to come in. We're going to play this game. Let's raise a little money so more kids can play flag football. Isn't that amazing?
I love it. Would it surprise you, Terry, that I have a funny flag football story?
Oh, no, it doesn't. How do I always know this? And we don't even talk about what we're going to talk about.
We do not prepare. Terry prepares. I just get to sit and wait to hear what she's talking about. I have no idea from week to week. So here's my funny flag football story.
Oh, good. I love this.
When anytime I move to a new place, I'll join all their rec leagues, the baseball, softball, whatever you get, golf, flag football. So I joined a flag football league when I was living in Chicago with a bunch of my friends from Marquette. Had a very, what I would call like good but laid back team. You know what I'm saying? Like we're there to have fun, have a little fellowship afterwards, maybe quaff a couple adult bevies. This was not, let's show up and have this intense flag football thing. I was working a ton at the time, so it was a nice little release, something to look forward to. Yeah. We were in the harder division within the flag.
No.
Right, of course, within the, because we were good. We would win a lot of games, bunch of ex-athletes, has-been athletes. There was one team who was completely obnoxious, and everybody that plays in rec leagues knows who I'm talking about. Like, there's always one team that takes themselves and the games far too seriously. And there was a particular guy that played on this team who's basically a big, fat jerk. And it was a co-ed league, obviously. And part of the rules involved that in every four downs, at least one receiver had to be a woman, right? Because if you're playing co-ed, you get, let's involve the ladies.
Please.
Yes. Now, I got the ball more than once every four downs. I had receiver gloves. I was a big, tall target. This was fun for me. But yeah. The other team with this jerk of a guy would rarely, if ever, run these plays, and eventually we'd have to complain. And this guy in this one game, he was, of course, the quarterback, the big, fat jerk, was lambasting every time he would throw to this one woman. I guess only one female showed up. She'd drop or wouldn't catch it, whatever, and he would literally berate this woman. So this is a long story, and I apologize, but this was towards the end of the game. Oh, yeah, towards the end of the game, and I had just about had it. They had me line up to rush right on the line of scrimmage. So you got to count off the rush. And me and this other guy rushed, and I did not intend to do this. I swear in a stack of Bibles, I did not intend to do this. The guy's rushing, and he was more concerned about him than he was me. And I eventually ended up being able to grab his flag, which is the equivalent of a sack, of course, right? I had so much animosity built up in my belly for this guy that by the time, you know, we're cutting around and I'm trying to get him, and by the time I got so close to him, my old rugby training had kicked in, and I did not grab this man's flag. I absolutely leveled him.
Oh, my God.
And got very abruptly kicked out of said used-to-be flag football game and got a stern talking to from the organizers of the league that, if this happens again, we're going to kick you out of the whole league and not let you return. Because this guy, it took him a little while to get up, Terry. I'm just saying, this is part of, I've always had the same motto. I do not like jerks and bullies. If you're a jerk and a bully around me, you'll get marked. And that always applied on a playing field, just as it does in real life, courtrooms, and in politics. That is not an avenue you want to go down. Of course, everyone on my team, and I would say there were a few people on the guy's own team that seemed pretty amused by the outcome there. Just desserts for that big jerk. It's no fun, even if you're playing in the most competitive of the divisions in a rec league, when somebody has to ruin it by taking it too seriously.
Yeah.
If you're that good, what are you doing in a rec league?
Right.
Chill
right.
out.
Well, it had to feel a little gratifying, even though you knew you shouldn't do it and you got, thrown out, but it still had to feel kind of good.
Of course it did. I honestly did not intend to tackle this guy. It was legitimately muscle memory, full combat memory from when I played, and just your muscle memory, body took over, brain was not functioning. It was just
then you're like,
that's my target, and I'm getting it, gosh darn it. And he sure did get it. Let's see here. Brian from Green Bay wondering if I got to the guy who I took out, if I got his phone number afterwards. No, Brian, I did not.
Brian. Oh, my goodness.
He wasn't really my type. Jerks, not really my type.
That's a funny question, though.
Yes, it is. Brian, we love you. Thanks so much. And thanks to you, Terry. I appreciate you. Have a good weekend. Enjoy
too,
the draft fun up in the Appleton Green Bay area.
Yep.
Folks, we'll be right back with some final thoughts on what has been, by any account, an eventful week in politics and the news. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross, calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back, everybody. We are in our last bit of the Maggie Dawn Show here in our new drive time slot on this, I don't know, kind of dreary Friday afternoon. I hope you all have a great weekend planned for you. Just wanted to share some more breaking news. Protests have been breaking out all afternoon across Milwaukee at the federal courthouse, at the county courthouse, at the Milwaukee Police Department, all in response to the federal government, Cash Money, Patel, and Pam. Maybe I'll follow the Constitution if Donald Trump tells me it's okay. AG Bondi's arrest of Milwaukee Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan. There have been very specific statements made by a number of elected officials. Wanted to share with you a bit of what Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said earlier today. And here's what I want to point out. I didn't get a lot of time to talk about the manner of Judge Dugan's arrest. Cal, I think the it's the second of the Crowley clips where he addresses the manner of Judge Dugan's request. Yes, this is cut 17. Let's take a listen.
Bottom line, we are talking about a sitting judge who deserves the same level of due process just like anyone else in our country. And it is our understanding that she was arrested by a large performative showing of law enforcement officials on the courthouse grounds today, and that is not right.
His word choice here, I think, is important. A large performative showing by law enforcement. He was asked a follow-up question about this, and why did he call it a performative showing? I think this is cut 20. He gets into it a bit. Cal, if you can play that.
Right, and so when I think about how this could have been handled, one, we're talking about a sitting judge who upheld the laws and interpret our laws. But for her, for example, to come to the courthouse and be arrested, why didn't this happen at her home? There are a lot of questions that we have as well, and we're looking to get some answers.
So from the media accounts that I've been able to obtain, I don't believe there, at least we haven't seen any yet, video footage of her arrest. But what I understand from the county executive, from other accounts, is that there were a large number, more than five law enforcement officials. They waited for her to arrive for work. They arrested her at the courthouse. These are the courtesies or the incourtesy that they chose to proceed under here. Let's compare that to how federal officials arrested and charged Donald Trump under federal law, how Georgia officials charged Donald Trump under Georgia state law. None of that occurred. None of that occurred with the other officials charged under Georgia law for the January 6th insurrection. Just didn't happen. What occurs is they contact the individual, or if they're known to have an attorney, they ask them to surrender, to show up. They aren't handcuffed. They are simply read their rights and they enter processing. So let's be clear about the manner of her arrest, the performative nature, according to Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. It was the performative nature. That tells you what's going on here. This isn't about whether or not Judge Dugan actually committed any crime, which, again, my belief, my argument to you is she absolutely did not, for the reasons I discussed at length in the first hour of the show. What this is about is sending performative messages to judges. It's so bad. Donald Trump calling for the impeachment of judges all the time, posting just today about radical left-wing judges. All of this is what the problem is and what it is about. They're threatening Republican-appointed judges, calling, again, Judge Harvey Wilkinson, a revered, extremely conservative judge who just last week called on all of us, wrote an opinion with a clarion call saying, this is undermining our most basic values. The Trump administration is undermining our most basic values as Americans. This is what is going on. And Donald Trump and the language that is used to attack sitting judges, federal and state judges, this action against Judge Dugan for controlling her courtroom, as she has every right to do as a state court judge, for observing the principles and precepts of the Fourth Amendment, which ICE warrants do not, for following the 10th Amendment's prohibition of the federal government to seize control of state and local governmental apparatuses for the purposes of executing federal laws. She was doing all of that. And yet, you're going to send, I don't know, a squadron of law enforcement to arrest a judge in or at the courthouse in which she does her job? Come on now. Even if you think Judge Dugan is criminally liable for what she may have done, you have to admit of the fact that the manner of her arrest speaks to the intent of the government, of the federal government, which conservatives used to decry for its wild overreach. Conservatives used to decry and lambast the federal government for intruding on local control and states' rights. These things tell you what's really going on. It is to scare and intimidate us into silence. Here's Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Like any individual in this country, Judge Dugan is entitled to due process. We should let the facts come to light and the legal process play out. I agree. In this country, process is democracy. So let's pay attention to what's really going on. I'll be back with all of you next week to continue to dig in Please take care of yourselves. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But remember, it is always better when we stand together.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson.
What do we do when people attack?
Fight back, yelled this crowd at a protest rally in Milwaukee, where County Judge Hannah Dugan was arrested by the FBI inside the county courthouse for allegedly helping an undocumented immigrant evade arrest. Attorney General Pam Bondi telling ABC News,
if you commit a crime in this country, you're going to be held accountable. Doesn't matter. We're going to prosecute you. No one is above the law, not even a judge.
Arrested along with his wife, a former Adonia County, New Mexico District Judge, Joel Cano, accused of knowingly allowing members of a Venezuelan gang to live on their property. Cano denies knowing they were gang members. Where is your remorse? Asked a skeptical federal judge in New York today before sentencing former Congressman George Santos to the max, over 7 years in prison. He pleaded guilty to fraud and identity theft. Wall Street major indexes closed higher. This is ABC News.